Hi, welcome to the second Macromedia Developer Relations podcast. I'm Christian Cantrell.
And I'm Mike Chambers.
All the links we discussed during today's podcast can be found on the podcast homepage. That URL is weblogs.macromedia.com/podcast. Today's podcast is released under a Creative Commons license, specifically the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license. This week, we're going to give you an update on Macromedia Weblogs. We're going to talk about a Spotlight plugin that Mike built for ActionScript files, rendering Flash tags with JavaScript.
We're also giving a preview of what's going on at Flash Forward this week, and Mike Downey, a product manager for Flash Authoring, is going to come down and talk about 8-Ball and the product planning process.
This is the second Macromedia Developer Relations podcast. We did our first one last week. We didn't really know what to expect. It turns out we had a pretty good response. We had a lot of good comments, a lot of good feedback. So we're back to do another one. We're going to try and do them every week for as long as it makes sense and as long as people find them useful. Last Tuesday, Apple released a new version of iTunes 4.9 with support for podcasting. Their support's actually pretty nice. We submitted our feed. We got a lot of comments, a lot of people asking us to submit the Developer Relations podcast to iTunes so that to make it easy for them to subscribe. We submitted it. Hasn't been picked up yet. Hasn't been published yet. I think there's an approval process, and hopefully that'll happen pretty quickly. We submitted it early last week. There are some issues. If you have a podcast that you want to submit, there are some problems. I think Apple has to work some of the bugs out of the system, but you can find details on my weblog, and I'll post that link to today's podcast notes. You can also add our podcast manually, and there are instructions for doing so at the podcast homepage.
All right. We also had we launched a contest this week. You know, we released this under a Creative Commons license, so which basically allows you to redistribute the podcast or remix it for non-commercial uses. So this is really cool. We've done things like this in the past. We had the Spoof Mike Chambers contest before. That was we got some really cool stuff out of that. So we really want to encourage people, see what people can do with the podcast. So we're having a contest for the best remix, mashup, or reuse of the podcast. We launched that on Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember the exact day. We've also already had a couple of remixes that are pretty funny, so you can check out my weblog. Of course, we'll have the link on the podcast site, but some pretty funny stuff. And the deadline's a week from Monday, so July 11th, so there's still a lot of time to play around with it, make us sound silly.
What's the prize?
So you can win. We have a couple of the Flash Timbuktu messenger bags left. So the top three entries get a Flash Timbuktu messenger bag. They're really cool. Like anytime you go to a Flash conference now, like half the people have them, and they're really nice bags.
So if you already have one, you can sell it on eBay or something.
Yeah, sell on eBay. Yeah, we'll autograph it. And so lots of stuff going on this week. OS Flash, osflash.org, launched a tutorial section on their site. I just want to point this out really quickly. This site, OS Flash, is really taking off. It's been out for maybe about a month, 6 weeks, and it's a host for everything open source in Flash. So they're hosting about 10 or 11 open source projects. They actually host the JavaScript Flash integration kit that Christian and I put together. We released that under open license, and it's hosted on OS Flash. They released a section of their site this week dedicated just to open source tutorials. So it's a great resource. Check it out. They have a lot if you're using Fame, so like, you know, actions using Eclipse to do your development, and also a lot on ASLib and SwiftMill. We need to link some. There's some Flash JavaScript kit tutorials that we need to link up there. But again, it's a great resource. Make sure you check out OS Flash because there's a lot of activity, a lot of energy going on around there, a lot of really cool stuff happening.
Also, the whole site is a wiki, so you can create an account and you can add your own content really easily, which makes it a really, really good resource, a very dynamic resource. It's always being updated, you know, we've added a lot of tutorials there already, and it's a really good location for these projects.
So let's see here. Anything new at MXNA this week?
Yes. We had some issues with the old MXNA server. If you've been following our web blogs for a while now, you'd know that we used to use our own domain, markme.com. We used them for most of our web blogs, most of the Macromedia web blogs for a while. And we had some trouble with the server. It's undergoing some maintenance. It's down right now. We're in the process of migrating all of the Macromedia web blogs that are on MarkMe over to the new web blog server, which is weblogs.macromedia.com.
Yeah, most of that content's already migrated, so like the aggregator and most of the weblogs are already migrated. Just a couple weblogs to be left, right?
Couple weblogs are left, and the Macromedia product XML feeds are still there. Okay. So if you're seeing some 404s or something from your aggregator, that's what's going on. That server's down, but all that stuff is being migrated. It's going to be back up shortly.
Yeah, actually, by the time you listen to this, hopefully everything's working again.
Right. And just so you guys know, during this migration process, we're not really going to be adding any new feeds probably. So if you've submitted a feed to MXNA and you're not hearing anything, we'll get to it very soon. But we need to get this migration completed first, and then we'll start approving feeds again.
So any new weblogs this week? Any new Macromedia weblogs this week?
Yes, there are. The XD team at Macromedia has launched a weblog.
So what's XD?
XD is Experience Design. And in their own words, they design rich internet applications and mobile experiences for customers in order to explore the edges of what they can become and to drive a vision of what a platform should create. I think that was a really nice way of putting it. It's an interesting group at Macromedia. They have a really cool job. They do a lot of innovative, very creative design work around the Flash platform. The last post by Andrew Borofsky, he's a senior UI designer, was specifically on their, you know, what he calls their foray into mobile, he sort of talks about their experience of going from, you know, designing for the, you know, desktop Flash platform, onto, you know, moving into the mobile world and designing for the mobile world and, you know, the challenges of that.
Yeah, it's actually really good. It's like basically he goes through their learning process and how they had to relearn, you know, a lot of their our perceptions and thoughts about what a UI is. And it's actually a really great read. We should get them on to, we should get like Mike Sundermeyer from the XD team down here to talk with us sometime.
Right, yeah. So in future podcasts, I'm sure we'll have someone from the XD team out here and they can talk a little more about it. Check out that last post if you're into mobile development at all. There's a ton of screenshots and he gets into a lot of detail, you know, about how the UI is evolving, and it's very, very good stuff. That URL's again, it's on today's podcast's notes.
So let's see what else went on this week. I released a new Spotlight plugin for searching ActionScript. So Spotlight is a new feature within Mac OS X Tiger that indexes all the content on your computer and makes it it's really quick search, really powerful. But the way it works is it looks at it only understands certain file types. And it didn't, or at least for me, it didn't understand ActionScript files, which are just plain text files. For some people, it depends. It seems to have a lot to do with what actually created your ActionScript file. So if your ActionScript file was created with Flash authoring, it wouldn't understand what it was. But if you create it with, say, Vim or a text editor, in most cases or in a lot of cases, it would seem to recognize it's a plain text file and would go ahead and index it and allow you to search it. But in my case, I had created a bunch of ActionScript files with Eclipse and with Flash authoring, and then SubEthEdit, which is a text editor, and it actually wouldn't index any of them. So I spent a lot of time over the weekend researching this, looking into how, like, maybe I could make my own plugin. And the problem is that Apple doesn't have a UTI. They have these, like, ways to identify files, and they don't have one specifically for ActionScript. So if you want to add JavaScript support, there's a way you can hack that into their existing plugin, but there wasn't an easy way to do it for ActionScript.
So Spotlight's extensible? You can add your own plugins?
Yeah, so you can create your own plugins. Actually, if you go to their site, there are a ton of plugins for like Real Basic and all these other programs. So I haven't done any Objective-C development or Cocoa development in about a year, and it's not my favorite language of programming. You got to do some memory management and stuff. So I wasn't looking forward to writing a plugin. But then doing some research, I figured out a way I could create a new plugin without having to write any code and just editing the configuration file for the plugin. So basically is what the plugin I did does is it tells Spotlight that just to treat any file with a .as extension as a plain text file. And so that, you know, I installed it. I had to re-index my entire system. You could probably do it. If I had more time, I'd write a script that goes through and just touches every ActionScript file. So then it would get re-indexed. But,
did you have to manually re-index everything?
Well, there's a command you can run. I don't remember. It's on the post for the Spotlight plugin. But basically, you can tell it to re-index. But this can take, like, it took about 5 minutes on my machine. But like,
it took about 5 hours on my machine.
Yeah, exactly. It can take a while. So basically, though, it works really well. So it's really nice now. I can search for functions and look for content within ActionScript files. Again, like some people reporting that it would work for them already without having to install the plugin, and that's probably because Spotlight was treating it just as a plain text file. So if you install the plugin, no matter what you create your ActionScript file with, as long as it has a .as extension, it'll work. And it works really well. It's really nice. It pre-indexes everything, so it's super fast. I've already used it a couple of times.
Yeah, so that's awesome. So if you're not very well organized, this is a must.
Yeah, so that's why I had to create it.
So what about other types of Flash files like Swifts or FLAWs?
Yeah, so that's like screaming, especially like FLAs, like screaming to be indexed. And this is something we've been talking about internally. You know, what would it take for us to create a plugin? And, you know, the specs are on Apple's site. It's actually not too difficult to create a plugin if you understand how to parse the whatever the file format is. But, you know, right now the Flash teams are focusing on a lot of stuff around the Flash platform, so 8-Ball and Maelstrom. So they're kind of really focusing on that. But, you know, the Swift format is a, you know, then you could search for, okay, I want to find all my Flash source files that, you know, contain this font. And you could do that really quickly. But the FLA format is... It's pretty daunting, so it's a significant amount of work. Even for, you know, even if we decide to create the plugin, it's a significant amount of work. But if anyone out there wants to like put something together, let me know. I'd love to see it. I think it'd be something really useful, yes. Even just if it was just for the Swift format.
So this is a plea.
Yeah. So that, you know, it's stuff we're gonna look at again. But right now, we're really focusing on getting 8-Ball and Maelstrom releases out the door.
Another thing that you guys can do to help organize your Swifts and specifically your FLAs is to associate metadata with the files, right? I mean, Spotlight will index notes and stuff associated with the file.
Right. Yeah, it's not – I think you can do it from the command line. You can also, like, select the file and do Command-I or get info, and you can put comments with it.
Yeah.
And there's a way, I believe there's a command line tool you can do that. So maybe you could automate something to do that. You could use Automator or AppleScript to do it. It's like suboptimal because every time you create a Swift or an FLA, you have to add it. And I don't know if like you republish a Swift and it gets saved over, like if Apple would keep that information. You know, we'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's kind of like... a way to so maybe there's some easier tools that could be built. You know, maybe you could make a JSFL extension that called out into the system, and that JSFL extension got some information from your FLA and then injected that into the calls out into the system, into AppleScript, and that injects in those comments into the file.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually pretty interesting. That'd probably work pretty well because JSFL could get information about what assets you have in there and what fonts, and then pass that out. Maybe that's something we'll look into, actually.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's kind of a roundabout way to do it, but it may be a little easier than like trying to parse the Swift format, or definitely easier than parsing FLAs.
Yeah, definitely.
So today we have Mike Downey. He came down from the second floor to talk with us. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Mike.
Mike, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us what you do at Macromedia.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Mike Downey, and I am the product manager for the Flash authoring tool.
So, you know, what is a product manager at Macromedia? What does that actually mean? Like, what do you do every day?
Well, it's a lot of work. The product managers are responsible for the business side of the product. So we generally manage the relationships with our customers and really need to know a lot about all the different customers represented by the all of the sales of the product, everything from education to enterprise, the whole thing. And we also work on marketing and defining the features and really just developing the product. Again, all of the really the business side of the product.
Right. So that involves things like determining what features go in, talking to customers, figuring that stuff out?
Yeah, we do a lot of research, surveys. We talk with customers. We go out and visit customers. And, you know, we try and set priorities on features and try and make sure we can find the features that the most people can benefit from our whole user base.
Right. So you know I'm going to ask about 8-Ball. But before I do that, you know, that's what everyone wants to hear. But before I do that, why don't I think it'd be really curious if you could just kind of talk about how does a product get built at Macromedia and maybe like use 8-Ball as an
example.
Very
carefully.
Yeah. So why don't you just quickly go over the process, maybe going back to the end of Ellipsis.
Yeah.
When you joined the team and just kind of go through the process, like how do we decide what features are made? How do we build it? How do we test it? How do we know when it's ready?
Sure. Yeah. So we wrapped up development on Ellipsis about the end of the summer of last year, 2004. And immediately afterward, the leadership from the product team representing QA and development and engineering and usability and, of course, the product management team, we all start out a multi-month process of customer research. So we go out and we visit with customers all over the world and we sit down and we show them prototypes of features, things that we think would be good features to put in the tool. And in this case, when we started this process with 8-Ball, we found that we were way off when we started. That first week, we showed things to customers, and they told us what they really needed. So over the process of each time we did a wave of visits, the product got closer and closer and closer to what everybody really wanted us to build. So we went through that whole process, and we call that requirements gathering. And at the same time, the development team is just kind of working on some of the low-level stuff, performance optimizations in the tool. And in this release, we're doing a lot of optimizations for our Mac version of our tools. There's a lot of work going on under the hood there. So the development team is building stuff, but not a lot of the big features yet. As we wrap up that requirements gathering process, then we start in A feature development and do get working on all the big stuff. And then we keep going and we keep refining, figuring out what our B features are going to be. And at the end of the requirements gathering process, we have what we call our minimum viable product. And that's our core feature list. And development continues. And then we start on to more of the marketing side of it. So we figure out what our messaging is going to be. We get all the schedules straightened out. We pull in all the resources that we need. And for the rest of the cycle, we start just kind of wrapping everything up that way.
So that's the SPD process. We've talked about that on the blogs and stuff before, but
right.
So where are we right now in the process?
Right. So we've at this point we've wrapped up the initial coding for all of the features, and we're in beta, we're now working a lot of the bug fixing and optimizations and all the little enhancement requests that we put towards the end of the cycle with every release. On the business side, we're finalizing all of our messaging and preparing all of the sales materials and all the stuff that we always have to get out there before we ship the product.
Right. So just to we're in beta now. This is something I want to clarify for everyone. We actually have different stages of beta. We have a form on the website if you want to be on the beta. Unfortunately, we get a lot of people who sign up for the beta, like thousands, and we can't send them all individual emails. But if you do get accepted for the beta, then you'll get an invite. If you haven't been accepted yet, we have multiple stages where we keep expanding it at each level. So how's the beta been going so far?
This beta has been phenomenal. We've got a lot of really great, passionate people. The fact that the release is being described as the biggest release since Flash 4, which I tend to agree with myself, has really gotten a lot of people excited. So our beta users are very, very active. And we've done a lot of work. You know, we showed a little bit of this publicly in the new version of the Flash Player that opens up a whole new realm of graphical capabilities, and our beta testers are just having a lot of fun building some really interesting things. We've already found a whole suite of features that have risen out of our initial plans that we never thought about, use cases. And we've been making little tweaks to each feature to accommodate these things. These are all things that our beta testers figured out and asked us to do. So it's actually been fantastic so far.
Right. So do you have any examples of that?
So one of the features we did was actually pretty interesting. We've showed this publicly. We have a new capability to render drop shadows on any object in Flash at runtime in the player. And one of our beta testers suggested that you should be able to apply a drop shadow to an object, like an animated character on stage, but then tell Flash to hide the object itself that has the shadow applied to it, only leaving the resulting shadow. And then when that animates, you've just got this animated shadow.
Right.
And then what he does is he makes two copies of the same character, one with just the shadow and one of just the character, and then tweaks it, rotates it, and skews it, and creates basically a 3D drop shadow. And we never thought of that.
Yeah.
And so we put that little feature in there to hide the object when the shadow's applied in the tool.
Right, yeah, that's really cool. I think Doug Benson, who is what's Doug's title?
Doug runs the whole development team for Flash, yeah.
So he, I think he showed that at Flash Forward last time. And, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, whoa, that
is
so cool.
Yeah, me too. It blew me away, yeah. That was the yellow dog on the beach, yeah. Chris Georginis actually created that.
So, Mike, you've been traveling a lot the past couple of weeks. Like, what's up with that? Where have you been? Like, I don't have anyone to play Halo with at night.
This is the thing that every product manager looks forward to. After these long product cycles, the fun part is when the product managers get to go out and travel around the world and start telling the press and the analysts and the some of the key customers all the new things that we're doing in the release. So basically, we show them the full product. We disclose everything to them. We call it the long lead press tour. They're under NDA, and they can't say anything about it until we officially launch the product. But it's really fun because we get to go all over the place. Last week, I was in New York and Boston with some other members of my team. And over the next 2.5 weeks, I'm going to be in Europe. So we're going all over Europe. And then Asia's coming after that, so it's a lot of fun. Although, I've got to say, I've given the exact same demo 75 times now over the last 2 weeks. So that's the downside.
All right. So you just do it with your eyes closed now.
Yeah, right. I recite it in my sleep now.
Right. So one thing, so this is something, you know, we've traditionally done every release. We always brief press and everything. But something we've done a lot differently this time is we've been a lot more open just in public with the community and stuff. And this is something that goes, I think the first time we showed 8-Ball was sometime last fall, like in Tokyo. Then we showed it a sneak peek at Max. We've shown it. We've been a lot more open. So why are you talking? You know, you've been driving a lot of that. And why don't you talk about like why the change and what's been the reaction from the team and like do you know how do you feel about it
right,
so far?
Right. Well, we've really felt that with this release, we really wanted to get our community much more involved in the whole Flash ecosystem. And, of course, the Flash authoring tool and the player is a really key component of that whole thing. And, you know, with regards to the development of 8-Ball, the new release of the Flash authoring tool, we wanted to let people know what we were working on, what we were up to, and kind of some of the areas that we were focusing on. And that way people can kind of know what to expect, and they can also start to give us some feedback. Early on, we were able to really gauge the reaction by showing a few of the big features we were working on. We could see, you know, how people were talking about that, and there was just so much chatter and excitement about it. And it was a vibe that I haven't seen in a long time in the Flash community. And it was like, you know, they're really coming back to us. They're doing really compelling, big stuff, especially the graphic stuff that we're doing. So it's kind of a new philosophy for Macromedia. We just want to be a lot more open on the stuff that we're doing.
Yeah, so like any concern about competitors or, you know, is Microsoft going to...
no comment on Redmond. But we obviously are trying to be, you know, very innovative with our release. And, you know, Flash has always led the pack in, you know, interactive content on the web. And, you know, for that reason, we don't disclose everything early on. We still got a few tricks up our sleeve that we haven't shown anybody yet. But at the same time, you know, we've got really good stuff that we're building. And we do show it early, and that does it does let the competitors see. But, you know, there's only one group up there that's really, really, we think, trying to focus on the whole rich experience like Flash does. But we're pretty confident. We think we've got a really strong ecosystem, a huge customer base, and we've got technology that's a real reality now. It's on, you know, over 95% of all the machines out there, and it takes a long time to get that kind of success. So right. Not that worried.
Yeah, okay. So you mentioned a couple of features, the graphic effects and stuff like that. What about performance and quality? And I'm speaking specifically about the IDE.
Yeah.
We're going to flash off.
Yeah, that's been a huge thing for us. So we really got started on big optimizations, big low-level fixing things and speeding things mm-hmm. up. We got a heavy start on that in the Ellipsis release, and we just kept that going. And I think for one of the first times ever in the release cycles of all the Flash releases, we actually dedicated several engineers for the entire cycle this time to just performance optimization, just going in and doing, you know, bug fixing and re-architecture and really going in and trying to find where all the slow parts were. Right. And in doing that, you know, I think having an entire cycle, having somebody working on that has made just a tremendous, tremendous difference.
Hey, faster performance on the Mac?
That's actually one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
That I can guarantee personally that the Mac performance is going to be tremendously faster.
Okay.
One of the things we did to try and help keep that on everybody's mind is we got Macs for all the engineers and the product management, and we all started using them a lot. Myself, I switched to a Mac right about the beginning of the cycle. And that way we could just kind of feel what it's like to be using the tools and experiencing it. And I think that's made a big difference.
Right, cool. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask this for everyone out there listening, but is the library panel going to remember its position?
Well, I did mention that we had a few tricks up our sleeves that we hadn't disclosed yet. But the famous enhancement request to get the library to stay where you leave it.
I think that was the number one thing
we heard.
It was
definitely the number one. Well, there were two. That one of them was normal mode, and we're working on that one. But, I can guarantee all of you listening that we have definitely fixed the library panel issue. It will stay where you leave it when you quit the tool and restart it.
Hallelujah. Yay. When you put in some sound effects of angels cheering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, make sure you get that in there.
Yeah. So you know, when's 8-Ball going to be out?
All right, so we're planning to launch for late summer this year. That's as much as I can tell you so far.
So what's the end game? What's the process between now and then?
Yep. Like I said, we're in beta now, and the team is pretty much focused on bug fixing and performance optimization and some small enhancements. So that's on the dev side. On the business side, we're still preparing all the marketing materials and getting all the launch materials put together. We're doing the press tours right now. And all of that is just a lot of activity. This is the busiest time of the whole cycle right now.
Yeah. Cool. Everyone, you know, I've been showing it a couple of times. Everyone's really excited. I'm excited about it. This is the most excitement and passion I've seen around on a beta for a long time. So
yeah, I agree.
Really
yeah, definitely. I've actually been interested in how excited some of the press has been over this. We've talked to some people who really don't know Flash that mm-hmm. well either, and they get it. They see what we're doing here with this next release of the player and the authoring tool, so it's pretty big.
Yeah, it's always a good sign when
definitely.
If press can get it, then.
Yeah, exactly.
I might have to edit that out.
I know. I hope they're listening.
So you have a weblog? What's your weblog?
I do have a weblog. Weblogs.macromedia.com/MD.
And Flash Team has a weblog?
Flash Team does have a weblog. Weblogs.macromedia.com/Flash Team.
Yeah, I don't think we've moved it yet, but has it been updated in a while?
I don't think we've touched that one in a while.
Yeah, is that going to get updated soon?
It's your turn to update it, right, Mike?
So thanks for coming down, talking to us, Mike, and have a good time in Europe.
Absolutely.
So if you've been following our weblogs or listened to the podcast last week, we've been talking about the Flash JavaScript Integration Kit a lot. This is a kit that Christian and I put together that makes it really easy to have JavaScript and ActionScript communicate with each other, and you can call functions between the two and pass native data types. So we're really excited about it, and we've been having a lot of fun with this, doing some experiments with Flash and Ajax integration. So this week, we actually updated again. We haven't had a new release, but we've been – you can go – you know, it's an open source project, so you can go to osflash.org and download the latest source. We have nightly builds up. You can grab it. But we had some pretty big changes this week.
Yeah, one of the changes I made was in the Flash Tag JavaScript class. The project uses a class, JavaScript class called Flash Tag, to render the Flash Tags in a couple of different circumstances. And I decided to make some changes to it to make it a little more comprehensive, and that changed the API a little bit. I updated the docs so you can see the changes reflected on OS Flash. And I also made a blog post about the Flash Tag specifically, because even if you don't use the entire integration kit, the Flash Tag is something that you might find useful. Basically, it's a way to render, you know, a Flash movie, or to write out your Flash Tags, I guess is the best way to phrase it, using JavaScript, which makes it a little bit easier to author your Flash Tags, because Flash Tags are, they're big, they're sort of cumbersome. You know, you have your object tag and your embed tag, and you have parameters and attributes, and it's sort of hard to remember all these things. So the Flash Tag sort of encapsulates all that. I have a ColdFusion, you know, custom tag that renders Flash Tags, which I've used in the past, but I decided to write this one in JavaScript just to make it, you know, a little more versatile, since, you know, it doesn't rely on any type of server technology. It can be used anywhere. You can find out more about it by going to my weblog. Again, the URL will be on today's podcast notes. And if you're interested in just sort of a simple way of writing out Flash Tags using JavaScript and, you know, sort of encapsulating that whole process, then you might find the Flash Tag useful.
Right. So it actually covers all. So what we had before didn't have all the attributes that you could pass the HTML for Flash, right? Like, I think scale, someone had asked for scale.
Right. Well, actually, so that's how I got involved in all this, was that someone said, you know, hey, can you update Flash Tags so that I can add a scale attribute to it? And it's funny because, I mean, I've been embedding Flash into pages for a long time, and, you know, he said scale. I was thinking, scale? What's that? I don't remember that. So I did a little bit of research, and I found out there are something like 17 different attributes that can be added to Flash Tags. So I completely rewrote the Flash Tag JavaScript class so that you can include, or, you know, you can configure all 17 of those attributes.
Right. Yeah, it's really cool. So this is part of the Flash JavaScript script integration kit, so you can go download the source or the latest builds. But like, even if you're not interested in Flash JavaScript integration, there's actually some pretty cool stuff in there. So the JavaScript Flash Tag that you're just talking about, we fixed some bugs with calling multiple functions from Flash to ActionScript, you know, right after each other, only the last call would be done. So there's like this function queue class and a get URL queue that you can use. That'll basically queue up function calls and distribute them over a number of frames. So, even if you're not interested in Flash JavaScript integration, there's some pretty cool stuff in there that could be useful in other projects. And again, it's all this is under an open license. It's an Apache-like license. So you can use it for your own project. He had IM me and was trying to do some Ajax stuff. And he was running into a lot of the issues that we ran into, you know, when we're learning about a lot of experiments, and just running a lot of cross-browser issues, which you can overcome, but you have to learn how to do it, and, you know, it can be some extra work. And so I just pointed him to MXNA, into the JavaScript kit, and he was going through the source. And actually, Eric did a podcast this week, so maybe we'll see more podcasts coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about how just looking through the source, he's able to really learn a lot about it.
Yeah, so that's how I like to learn. I don't like to read documentation. Right. I like to find code. I like to read code, not documentation.
Yeah.
So if that's the way you learn, check out the kit. There's good ActionScript. There's good JavaScript. And again, the URL will be on the notes for today's podcast.
Yeah, and you know, we released the Vue source extension. This idea of being able to learn from viewing source really helped HTML in the beginning, and now JavaScript. And so we released that for Flash. We're actually doing a session on it at Flash Forward next week. So, Flash Forward's coming up this week, and I think it's shaping up to be one of the best Flash Forwards in a long time.
Yeah, a lot of big names.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, if, you know, I'm looking at the website right now, and like, Errol Balkin's going to be there. Christian and I are going to be there. Justin Everett Church, Eric Natsky, Peter Hall. I mean, it's crazy the quality of speakers they have, and just everyone, like, across the board, are people doing really cool stuff. We're actually doing a lot of stuff there at the conference. Let's see, we're helping out with the keynote, so I can't talk too much about that. Kevin will be doing the keynote, Kevin Lynch, and it's always cool. And, of course, maybe we'll have some time to do some 8-ball and Maelstrom sneaks. Maybe there'll be some new things in there. And then in the afternoon on Thursday, Kush and I and Kevin Lynch and Doug Benson, who heads up development for Flash Team, are doing a town hall session. So these are always really cool. It's basically a chance to ask any question you want of the people who are actually making the tools. So that's always a lot of fun. And then Christian and I have a session on Friday morning, around, I think it's 11:30 on Friday, and basically talking about, the title's Integrating Flash with HTML, JavaScript, and Ajax. So we're going to be talking about a lot of the work we've been doing and a lot of the research this summer around Flash and HTML and Ajax integration. So we'll talk about the Flash JavaScript kit. We'll talk about the few source stuff we've done. And I think we're going to sneak some new stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
We'll have to.
We can't have a session without sneaking something.
Yeah, I know. No one will come.
Yeah.
And then actually Friday morning, I'm actually participating in a roundtable, a Flash community roundtable. So this should be pretty interesting because we haven't really done this at Flash Forward before. But it's going to be myself and Errol Balkin, Brandon Hall, Peter Hall, Grant Skinner, Guy Watson, a couple other people, and just a open roundtable on the Flash community, maybe blogging, and so I think it should be really interesting. Especially, Flash really, I think, has one of the strongest communities of any development community, at least that I've been involved with, and really build on top of each other, share a lot, and so I think it should be really interesting. So. Again, we're going to be at Flash Forward next week. Hopefully we can, maybe we can do a podcast from there.
Yeah, we're not sure technically how the next podcast is going to work. Yeah. Since we're going to be in New York, we're going to be dividing our time between, the hotel, the conference, parties. So we're going to see if we can figure out.
His fan comes on, we have to stop.
It sounds like a jet engine taking off.
So we'll have to – I think we need to go to the Apple Store and buy a whole bunch of equipment
That's
so
right.
we can do podcasts next week.
That's
and
right.
then, of course, expense that.
That's right.
That's a good excuse. So,
that's right.
So we'll be at Flash Forward this week. You can find out more information from – make sure to check out their website. And then also, they actually have a weblog that they keep track of everything that's going on. They've been profiling sessions and speakers. So make sure to check out their weblog. And then I think maybe we'll set up a smart category at MXNA this week to track all the conversation about Flash Forward, too.
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very strong Flash Forward. This is going to be one of the strongest that I think that I've been to. What about parties or Xbox, Halo?
So at
anything?
The Xbox, we're bringing the Xbox out.
Yeah, is it shipped yet?
It shipped yesterday,
Yeah,
so
okay.
It'll be there Tuesday.
It's on its way to New York.
Yeah, and so. We'll have a lot of fun.
There's going to be Halo in someone's room or something.
Yeah, we'll go out to eat and just hang around. So if you're at Flash Forward, make sure to grab us and we'll hang out, have a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Should we mention Max? I guess while we're on the topic of conferences.
Right. So Max, Macromedia Max Conference. I think we officially announced it about 10 days ago. But it's October 16th and 19th of this year, and it's in Anaheim this year. So all the sessions and tracks are actually online now, so you can go to the Max website and check it out. It's shaping up to be really cool, some really cool sessions. And, of course, we're going to have a lot more coming up in the coming weeks and months about stuff going on Max. So there's... This is going to be a conference not to miss. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on around the Flash platform. 8-Ball and Maelstrom will be out by then. So there's a lot of stuff going on. I think if I think back of the past couple Maxes, they've been great. But this is one really I don't think you can't miss this one.
Yeah, the Flash platform is really exploding. And this is really going to be a great conference to follow it. It's at the Anaheim Convention Center. Isn't there, some kind of a theme park or some kind of attraction around there?
I think there's
Like, is it Wild World or something?
Yeah,
or
the Water World.
Six Flags?
Or, yeah.
Or
yeah, so it's at, is it Walt Disney World or Land? I get it mixed up.
I think it's Disneyland.
Yeah. So anyway, so you can bring your family.
Bring the kids.
And it's not actually at $200, so if you definitely know you're going, make sure you sign up. You save some money. Actually, you can use that money to buy Christian a birthday gift.
That's right. Yeah. $200 birthday gift.
So that's all for this week. Again, all the links we talked about and mentioned can be found on the podcast website, and that's weblogs.macromedia.com/podcast. We're going to try to do another podcast this week from Flash Forward. We'll see how that goes. And just to remind everyone, this podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license. Say that three times really fast. but basically, is what that means is you can redistribute this and you can remix it. You can make us sound silly. You can, you know, release a
track. You can make us sound smarter, too.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Really, if you can do that, then we'd probably have a job for you.
Yeah. You get a flashback.
Yeah. But you know, maybe you can release a techno track and it'll be all the European dance rage or something. Anyway, so thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.